on 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria.
I'm sure you caught up with the news during the week that FINA, which is the Fédération Internationale de Natation, I believe that's how you pronounce it. I'm sure if I did it wrongly, someone will tell me. Basically, they're the people who run the Lamington Drives for the international swimming, have banned a number of high-tech swimsuits for being too high-tech, I suppose. So many world records have been broken in the last year, something between 80 and 120 or something like that, that everyone's got a bit suspicious, and so there's been an investigation. And swimsuits have been blacklisted and world records haven't been ratified. But what's happened with these swimsuits that mean they have to be banned? We're going to find out by speaking to Morris Mizalowski, who is a futurist and amongst other things, a business person, all that sort of stuff. But he's across this whole swimsuit brouhaha. Morris, how are you?
I am excellent, thanks.
Good, you do look excellent. You know, you look excited and ruddy-cheeked on a Sunday morning.
Absolutely. For a Sunday morning, it's not bad, huh?
Now, the first thing I want to know is, when did what are being called high-tech swimsuits first start to appear? When did it stop being budgie smugglers and just, you know, cozzies?
It really depends what variation you take of it, but we can go back to the 1920s, you know, when Speedo first started being developed, but you really want to go forward from there. So let's say
I'm interested. So, of course, because people were wearing, you know...
Well, they were wearing the full cozzies, remember? It was indecent to go on the beach and show any skin at all.
Yeah.
So they were wearing, you know, those full granny-type things where it was neck to knee and no one could see anything. In the 20s... Speedo, you know, the guy that originated, said, well, you know, all this is a nonsense. We really need to start swimming as an exercise and as a way to get out into the water.
Yeah.
And he put together a pair of cozzies, and they were really the originator of this. And ever since then, over the next 80 years or so, he's still around, the next 80 years or so, they worked on making those cozzies better and better, but not to the technology that we're talking about today.
So, and that's the big thing, isn't it, the technology? I read that, and I think it was Speedo, had one of their suits tested by NASA.
Well, not tested, but they worked with NASA to make these new tests. And they also worked with the Australian Institute of Sport. So they got all these boffins out from around the world and maybe from outside as well.
Let's just sort of talk about the major advantages that these suits are giving to people from what I can find out. There's three, and the first one appears to be buoyancy.
So, there is buoyancy, but there's actually four characteristics that are really important in this thing.
Yep.
So, we're talking about the new bodysuits, and just to put that back into perspective, 1990 was when they started, 2000 was when the ones we're talking about today really hit.
Yeah.
So, it was our Olympics that made this a really big deal. All of a sudden, people were wearing things that we hadn't seen before and breaking records. So, we've got about a 9-year span on this.
Oh, okay.
But FINA's looked at four areas, and they said these are the four areas that constitute these bathing suits, whatever we want to call them now.
I love bathing suits. It's old-fashioned.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
The first one is the fabric. So the first thing they're going to look at always is what the fabric is and what it's made of, and make sure that it's rigid-ditch. They don't want things, you know, they're looking at the hydrodynamic shape that the fabrics are sewn into. They're looking to make sure that there are no speed bumps in it. Because some of the early 2000 ones that they were wearing at these Olympics had little bumps on them. The original thought was, let's make them like a shark skin, because that was the original format that they took. And shark skins apparently have... I've never got close enough, don't want to. But apparently have little bumps on them. So they had little bumps on them because it was better for aerodynamics, they believed.
Oh, okay. I would have thought... I don't know much about aerodynamics, but I would have thought any drag in the form of bumps would be problematic.
I would have too. And absolutely since then, we've gone away from it. In fact, that's one of the arguments people have used now to discredit this whole notion, because in 2000 they were saying the exact opposite of what you and I now think to be absolutely normal, that you wouldn't have the bumps on them.
No.
But anyway, FINA said you can't have them anyway. You know, no bumps, no lumps, no nothing. Really smooth material is all they want.
So no shark fins.
No shark fins. Shark
fins
are out.
Mm. That would make it really exciting, I reckon.
Well, it'll make good soup anyway.
Yeah.
So the second one is, it needs to have, or it has some kind of internal core stabiliser.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it might be too much for a Sunday morning, but kind of like granny in their old corset.
Oh, okay.
So what they did, these new suits, was really to hug the body really smoothly, again, for that drag, for that aerodynamics. And some of them got a bit carried away with this corsetry, so to speak, and tried to make them really stiff. In fact, one of the little boffins that put together these suits put tag wires in or trip wires in. I don't understand it either. So the suit was actually connected by a series of wires to aid that kind of buoyancy and other aerodynamic issues.
Also, I believe with the compression that it actually stops your muscles tiring.
Yes, it does. Quickly. Supposedly it does, and it means that they can swim further for longer. And that's one of the things they're concerned about too.
Okay.
Yeah. So the internal core stabilizer, and the third was the drag. They wanted to look at the drag reduction. So what are these materials doing? How slow or how fast are they making that swimmer in the water? And they're going to measure that from now on. Don't know how.
Because one of the things is that the suit can't come up to your neck.
It can't go beyond the neck now.
Right.
So it can only be neck to ankle. It can't cover the shoulders anymore. So
okay.
It really has to stop at the shoulder blades, has to stop at the neck, has to stop at the ankles. Past there is verboten.
Yeah, right. So there does have to be some part of the human being actually showing
there
to be drag.
There does.
Right.
So it's interesting the little way that they've got around this. And the controversy, as you said, in the startup is just phenomenal. There seems to be two distinct camps. There's no middle ground. You either hate this thing or you love this thing.
Yeah, and the thing, I suppose Athena is doing the only thing that they can do, which is to try and regulate this, because you can't ask people to just stop wearing these suits.
Well, no, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle, that's right. And Athena has been really dragged to this, as far as I can see, as an outsider kicking and screaming. You know, for a long time, they seem to have had their eyes closed a little bit on this. And what's happened is, especially since the last Olympics, which is where, as you said, there were so many races that were won by people wearing these costumes, that the rest of the world began to say, what's going on? Is there some kind of unfair advantage in this?
Mm.
So Athena was forced to look at it. And again, they've just brought down some rulings in the last week of what they may be. And they're in those four categories we spoke of. So they're going to do things now by looking at the buoyancy of it.
Yeah.
That the buoyancy has to be so many newtons and whatever. They're looking at the thickness of the material, which can't be more than a millimetre. And they've put down about 9 or 10 regulations that people now have to abide by. What that's meant for the costume developers is that about 130-odd of them are no longer allowed.
Yeah.
And they've given them 30 days to come back on spec and to retest, and they've allowed about 200 of them.
Now, one thing that interests me about this is I get why they develop these things for elite athletes, because it's amazing advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lots of people know what Michael Phelps, what sort of suit he was wearing.
Yeah.
At the Olympic Games when he won all the 8 gold medals or whatever it was. But do these suits and the development of them have any peripheral benefits for people at the Bendigo public baths on a Saturday afternoon?
Well, in fact, they've been banned in the amateurs.
Oh, okay.
And that was done last year in Australia. So the amateur races or the higher ones in that category are not allowed to wear them as far as I'm aware. So they've taken them out totally, and they've done that to say we want a level playing field.
Yeah.
Look, everybody needs to be equal in this. Some people can't afford these suits. And they're about $600 from what I hear. Per item, maybe a bit more.
Will there be any knock-on to just, budgie smugglers and normal cozzies that people wear at the pool?
I'm sure there will be, absolutely. And I think beyond that as well, that this compression, this corsetry, whatever we want to call it, also coming to garments. In fact, the patents that they took out on it, they being Speedo, says specifically that they want to be able to re-engineer the same patent back into normal, so-called normal clothing, so undergarments, for instance.
Oh, okay.
And that might be used for medical reasons, perhaps people with arthritis or with some kind of an issue that need that compression around them. So we will find the technology moving on into other elements.
Now, speaking of the technology moving on, you being a futurist and all, and this being one of your strengths, where do you think, because people don't give up. I mean, they've been told that they're not allowed to do certain things by FINA, and so now they're going to go, okay, we're going to find some new technology to incorporate that no one knows about. Where do you see it going? Do you think people will use nanotechnology and all those sort of things?
The answer is absolutely yes. I actually spoke to one of my mates this week who works in this area, actually designed some of this, and he was saying exactly that the race is on now. FINA's basically drawn a line in the sand. They've said, this is what you can do, boys. So all the boys in the last week have decided, well, if that's our rules with it, we better learn to play. So they've gone out there, and they're actively, I know he is, where I mentioned names, I know he's actively out there looking for new fabrics now.
Okay.
Because the fabrics are now spelled out, how thick, how wide, how whatever else, and he's put the call out, and again heard back from all of the people, he's putting the call out, that they're all on the search for a better fabric. And that seems to be the pace moving forward. We're also going to see, as you said, nanotechnology coming into these garments, so we'll see whatever it is that they can do. But we're talking about perhaps heating within the system, although FINA said that they're not going to allow that. So it's possible with some future garments with nanotechnology to put some basic heating into it.
Now, nanotechnology, it's incredibly small, and there's things like nanomachines and all that sort of stuff, aren't
there? Really, really, really small. About a millionth of a hair. That's small. So, and nanotechnology, that's the big push over the last 10 years and certainly moving forward. It allows us to rebuild, basically, our internals. And with nanotechnology, we're looking at perhaps curing or at least getting better at cancers and all kinds of diseases in the body. So we can target specific places within the body, so to speak, and to apply whatever we need to apply to get rid or eradicate that disease or issue. And nanotechnology is also being used in clothing, or talked about being used in clothing. It's talked about you being used in simple things like windows. You can now get a window that cleans itself through nanotechnology. So when the wind, when the water hits it, it automatically slides off and takes the grime away.
How does that work?
You're asking a detailed question. But I was going to say Virgin, apparently. Virgin Blue in Australia has painted all of their planes with nanotechnology paint, and they no longer need to wash them because when the planes go through the clouds, it's like an auto washer.
That's fantastic.
So they're saving a lot of money by using not a simple paint, but by using a paint that's readily available. So we've talked about being on cars into the future. So nanotechnology really has a great way forward. It also has some downsides, perhaps for another day. So we're talking about what happens with nanotechnology when we're using it in the washing machine, for instance, which is one of the great debates. If we put it into clothing, some of the particles that are in it, in fact, might go back into the waterway, and what happens to the waterway when they go in. So there are all kinds of
things. There's a science fiction movie in there, isn't there?
Isn't there one? Yeah, absolutely.
The water getting taken over by nanotechnology, drinking it, and us becoming at the behest of nanomachines.
Or we may not have to shower again.
We may not have to shower again. We just run naked through a cloud.
Now there's a thought.
Okay. That can be the denouement of the movie. So using this sort of technology, that they could maybe incorporate nanotechnology into the fabric.
Absolutely. And they could also incorporate into the fabric something that relaxes or tightens the muscles. I mean, obviously the compression garment does that, but they could add more into that. Now again, Fina said that's not allowable, but theoretically
Damn
we could.
Fina.
I know.
They're ruining it for everyone.
Are they really?
People just want to cheat.
They're taking the fun out of it, aren't they?
Aren't they?
I mean, they really are.
Is there any way that you could make the fabric slightly adjust for when you're diving in and then coming out of the water and stuff like that, so it adjusts to the water pressure, whether you're above the water or below?
I'm sure absolutely all of those things are possible. Nowadays, with all this technology, there really is only the need to have the thought and then to allow some time for the gestation for it to actually happen. So all of those things can be done. What Fina has also done, which I think will level the playing field a bit, is they've said you cannot have custom-made suits anymore. So it has to be one suit off a rack. So maybe it will alleviate some of the things you've just asked for. So they couldn't build a Morris suit, for instance, or an Ellen suit. It would have to be a suit off a rack.
Oh, I hate buying things off the rack.
So do
They're
I.
always too short in the leg.
Yeah, I like them tailor-made too.
Yeah.
No, bespoke.
Exactly, bespoke suits.
The arms are always too long.
And with a nice pinstripe on them to make you look a little... It always makes me look less chunky. But swimmers don't really have to worry about that,
no,
do they?
No,
they're not chunky. No, you don't have chunky swimmers.
No.
They're too buoyant. They're illegal.
Well, this is true too, yeah.
Well, Morris, thank you so much for coming in.
An absolute pleasure.
And I'm going to get you back because I want to find out about how windows wash themselves.
Excellent.
Yeah, I hate washing windows. Morris Mizalowski, who's a futurist and clearly knows a lot about self-washing windows and swimsuits, thank you very much for coming in. You are listening to me, Alan Brough, on 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC...